What is up? Thank you for joining me today. Welcome to the Real Estate Gene Podcast. Man, I got some goods for you today. The goods are this. Listen, I'm going to tell you about five ways you can make money in real estate. Not only are we going to talk about five ways you can make money, but we're going to talk about the pitfalls of each one of them, how it's market specific, how you can navigate through all of them, how you can diversify, how you can grow teams, a lot of stuff in between. Lots of avenues. So when you're in real estate, one of the biggest things is, especially for you type A personalities like myself, is 3 or 4 years of something, you kind of get a little bored, get a little antsy. You want to move around, explore, maybe do something a little different. You know, not the same thing over and over and over and over again. Well, that's the reason I love real estate. When I found real estate, I found that there's several avenues I can go, several ways I can take my business, several things I can do to grow my business and never, ever, ever get bored. So that's pretty sweet. So that'll keep my type A personality lovely. And I hope these five ways for you to make money will actually help. And just so when you go into real estate, I always coach for people that are coming in. Hey, let's find your gifts and find what you love. There's 50 different ways you can go in real estate. You don't need to go all 50 ways. You need to go the way that you're passionate about. First thing to do is find that, find your gift zone, and then set you on a trail for success, building your empire. So maybe one of these five things is just that. Hope so. So here's the five things. Let's get on with it. Number one, resale. One of my faves, how I got started. Still some of what I'm doing, but not everything. Number two, new construction. Man, when new construction's rocking, if you're a new construction agent, you'd be driving around in the nicest Audi, kicking it at the nicest restaurants. But what can happen? All right, we'll talk about it. Number three, flips. You know the investors out there looking for those properties flipping. You see it on HGTV. I made $600,000 from my $100,000 investment. Yes. So, man, these earbuds are falling out, but I like them. Anyway, so flips. We're going to talk about the pitfalls, how to get through all that. Number four, buy and hold for long-term rentals. Okay. Buy and hold for long-term rentals. And then number five, which is actually something else that I'm currently doing, and I'll get my earbuds right in a minute. Number five, buy and hold for short-term rentals or vacation rentals like Airbnb. So, you know, everybody's tossing the Airbnb word around. There's so many different ideas for it, which I think is awesome, man. I think that it's opened up so many opportunities to get people thinking forward about what they can do with their property. There's so much you can do with real estate, so many ways that you can turn that money into making more money versus just spending it. So let's talk about it. All right. Number one is resale. This is probably like if you were investing, let's say you're a big time investor and you want to put some of your money in the safest place you can put it. Well, that would be resale if you were in the real estate world. And what I mean by that is it's the lowest risk, meaning there's always people that are going to buy and sell in the resale market. They're going to move because of jobs. Their family's going to get big and they don't have enough space. Their family's going to get smaller. Kids go off to college. Sometimes bad things happen. Divorce, you know, loss of life, those things. All those things couple into keeping the resale market churning. So the resale market's always going to be a staple. You're always going to see ebbs and flows with the resale market, meaning is it a buyer's market? Is it a seller's market? And that's just dictated by certain economic indicators and real estate indicators, the demand, supply, those type things. Those all tie in to buyers or sellers market. But whether it be a buyers or sellers market, houses are still moving. So you're in a pretty safe space if you can be a master of the retail market or the resale market. You're in a pretty safe space if you can learn how to market houses effectively, learn how to negotiate and protect buyers effectively. Then that's kind of the baseline real estate, man. If you're in that groove and you're good at it, you can make a great living. Second is new construction. And so here's the thing. New construction, when it's running, it's like the Dogecoin of the pandemic where everybody was buying. And if you don't know what Dogecoin is, sorry, it's crypto. A lot of people made a lot of money on it. I invested in a little up too. It was great. But anyway, it's something that's super popular for a period of time and everybody wants some of it. And so with new construction, if real estate demand is really high, then new construction is booming. But right now with new construction and with it booming, what you'll see is agents literally can hook on with a builder or a large development, something like that. And they can get a job or they can sit in a model home and just rock contracts. Boom, boom, boom. And it's wonderful, man. And when new construction is rocking, it's incredible. Couple things that can throw new construction off. When demand goes down, then new construction usually doesn't kind of stay even. It can come to a screeching halt when demand goes down. In addition, we're experiencing this right now. Supply chains have been a little bit messed up because of the pandemic. Well, with that being the case, a new build that usually takes 6 to 8 months, when it gets in the 12 to 16 month range just to build a new house, some people aren't as patient, as well as materials going up and inflation, meaning they're having to charge a premium for these new construction houses, and there's a big gap between new construction and resale. So when you start seeing that, you're going to hit a ceiling where people are just not comfortable paying those prices. And we've kind of almost gotten there right now. Like I said, demand's still high, so new construction is going to keep rocking. And I think once supply levels out, these builders are going to get the prices back down to where they need to be and keep rolling. But just keep in mind, man, when demand goes away, new construction is like, we done. Y'all out. We'll catch you in a couple of years when the demand kicks back up. And most builders, they don't stick around for the slow times. So anyway, that's a bit of a scoop on new construction. I hope that helps. Let's go to number three, flips. So I have been blessed to manage a lot of flips, work with a lot of investors, and you can catch those as long as you catch it in a climbing market, then you're going to be in great shape. It's just that, so climbing market, as long as values are consistently going up, demand consistently stays high, whether you catch it where, I've heard people go, I could have bought that house 2 years ago for $70,000 and sold it today for $180,000. I wish I'd have done that then. Well, that may be true, but there's also the same investor that bought it 6 months ago for $130,000 and sold it for $180,000 and still did well. So values are still climbing. So as long as you're in a market that's conducive to investors that are watching values climb and their flippers, then they'll continue to pump that money in, turn out a nice product, get market value, usually above market value, because they're up there kind of around the new construction zone when they're putting out these houses that have been renovated. So they make good money on them. So that is an excellent, excellent, excellent way. Now listen, in a downturn when values are going down, these investors, the smart investors that have been holding on to cash piles, cash is king, cash flow is king. So when markets are down, they'll try to find the bottom and they'll try to pick up those houses on the bottom of the market, and then they'll hold on to those houses and either A, try to turn them into a rental until it's time to go ahead and flip them and sell them, or B, just hold on to them in general until the market turns and it starts going back up, then they'll go ahead and invest and flip them. So you can make money on either side of the market. It's just your timelines are going to be different. When values are climbing, your timelines are however long it takes you to fix it, sell. When values are declining, then there's a little bit more strategy and guesswork that goes into it. And that's all market conducive. So anyway, so with the flip, make sure you get one when the value's going up, or be real smart about it on the down and be ready to hold it, and then figure out how you can keep that. Anytime you have an investment, you want to make sure that investment's continuing to produce money, no matter what it's doing. Like, you don't want cash sitting in the bank. You want it constantly flowing and moving. With your properties, you don't want to be holding a property that's just sitting there and you're paying the taxes on it and you're not making use of highest and best use of the property, which is creating income for your property. So you always want to think about that. And if you keep your cash flow moving, watch out. If you keep your cash flow moving, man, that's the ticket. So anyway, cool. All right. So buy and hold long term. So buy and hold, generally the market price at the time, I mean, you don't want to buy at the tip top of the market, but market price is important as your rental rate and your good area. You want a good area, good location, something that's ready to move in so you can immediately start turning income. And if it's a long-term rental, then you're still on the hook for, you're on the hook for the maintenance and everything anyway. So the difference is, if you're doing a long-term rental, then generally your return on your rents is going to be a little bit smaller than your short-term rentals, vacations, Airbnbs, as long as they're being marketed properly and booked effectively. And then obviously location, location, location. So your long-term rental is going to carry that, but again, you're locked into guaranteed money every month. So even though the return on it is not as high, you still got that guaranteed money. As long as your renters stay good and everybody keeps paying you good, you're always going to deal with maintenance, whether it's long-term or short-term rentals. You got to keep money in reserve to take care of that. We have a condo down in Orange Beach. We didn't have that thing a month and the darn air conditioner went out. So that was a $5,000 unexpected expense. And you're going to have stuff like that happen. But just prepare for it. But keep in mind, even when you're getting the property, even like right now with rates being at 3%, keep your cash flow and keep your money moving. Get a mortgage on a property if you want. If you're buying a vacation property that you're going to earn money on and you can get it at 3%, get a mortgage on the property, cash flow it, be paying the mortgage, still making money on the other side, writing off the interest, and continue to grow. Right now, it's the dynamic is crazy because with interest rates being so low, money's not free, but it's super close. And so a lot of these investors and folks that have the ability to do so are making room to buy these houses, even with a mortgage, turn money on the other end of it, keep the cash flow going, and keep the investment going. Now, if the rates go up to 5 or 6%, that's going to go away because it's going to push the payments up and the risk up to a point where that's not a great thing to do. But right now, man, if you got cash laying around, you do 10% down, buy you a couple of investment properties, whether it be local Airbnbs with high demand or condos at the beach, rent them, cash flow, and be paying down the mortgage and putting money aside at the same time. Just keep that money mark churning versus sitting. That's what's up. So long-term, the rates are a little smaller. Short-term, your Airbnbs are really hot right now, especially in hot cities. We go to a mastermind in Dallas every quarter, and there's some agents that have jumped into some Airbnbs, and they're smaller properties, but Dallas has such an inflow of industry and business people and people coming there. That's why we go there for our real estate mastermind. It's just kind of like one of those hubs, you know? And so there's a high demand for Airbnbs, and people would more often than not rather stay in a nice home and have their own privacy versus a hotel. So that's really a thing now with properties. And then vacation properties, with coronavirus being so crazy, vacations and just getaways are in high demand. So with Airbnb, you're renting them a week at a time, and you're almost collecting in 1 week what you would collect in a whole month for a long-term rental. But just keep in mind, the demand fluctuates a considerable amount more with you in the Airbnb and vacation rental market than it does with a long-term rental, because it's just not steady. So if you're one of those steady paycheck type people, you may want to look into long-term rentals and just make sure you're in a good area. If you don't mind taking a big risk and you got an opportunity to buy a property that's in a hot area for vacation or a hot area for industry, and you want to turn that bad boy into an Airbnb, right now you can make some money. Like I said, even if you get the mortgage, the rates are so low, man, you can still cash flow and still be paying equity on your other properties. That's five ways to make money. And I could talk so much longer and get so much more into detail. And I'll be glad to do that with you. If you're interested in real estate in any way, message me below. I'm going to break down what minute I talked about each one through five. I'm going to put a link to my calendar. If you want to know anything about real estate, let me know. I run a real estate team. We're hiring. I invest in property, and I'd love to help you in any way I can in your real estate journey. So thank you for watching the Real Estate Gene Podcast, man. I hope this was some helpful information. I'll keep these bad boys coming. I'm going to start doing them at least once a week. I got to get that consistency on. Make sure we pick some good subject matter for you guys. Get my earbuds working so they can keep popping out of my ear and bringing you some straight, good information. Gene Darden, EXP Realty, the Southern Realty Specialist team. Hit me up with a follow. I'll put my social media down below. And let's talk about real estate. Let's connect. Peace.